Today we're going to do like this, a very like every Sunday we're starting with a Torah, a little part of the Torah portion of the weekly parasha, something that I can take with me for the rest of the week. As I explained a couple of times before, is that the Torah comes to teach me how to refine my Avodat Hashem. It's not coming to tell me a story or to just tell me something that happened in the history. It comes to teach me something that I apply to my service of God. And since the parasha comes in a specific time of the year, then there's a connection between this parasha to the week. And every day that I read a portion in the parasha has a connection to the day. So if I want to derive the most out of the parasha, then I learn what's hidden in the parasha, so I can take from it some type of a lesson and say, okay, I cannot refine myself within a day, or a week, or a year. My entire life, I have to refine myself in Avodat Hashem. So I'll do increments, and every week I'll take something from the parasha and apply it. And if I do that, then I'm actually deriving the most out of the parasha. So every Sunday we have a short class that we're taking one concept from the weekly parasha and we, Bezrat Hashem, apply it. So I don't know if you did that last week. It actually, I try to practice what I preach, and the entire week I was working on this particular thing that we were talking about last week. About last week we were talking about how was it that Esav suddenly forgave Yaakov after so many years that he wanted to kill him. In one instant he forgives him. And we're talking about the concept of sometimes people are upset at me, whether I'm right or wrong, or whether I did something or not. Something upset at me, and I don't want somebody to be upset at me. And how do I make that person forgive me or forget what happened? So this week's parasha is one of the most saddest parashot in the Torah that we read about the selling of Yosef. And the story about Yosef comes towards the end of the parasha. But in one way it's extremely sad, because you see how he was betrayed by his brothers that are supposed to be tzaddikim. And the Torah presents the tribes as tzaddikim, and they betray him. And not only that, he goes through such a ordeal. He gets sold to the Arabs, and then he gets to become a slave, and then this woman is running after him, and then he gets humiliated in front of the entire nation of Egypt, because this story was broadcast on their news channels, that this boy comes and he tries to rape the wife of this leader, and then he gets thrown to jail. And there's of course many, many questions in this parasha that don't have really good answers. That one of the big questions that a lot of people ask is, how could it be that the brothers sell Yosef? I mean, that's a pretty serious thing. When you're expecting from these tzaddikim to behave a certain way, and they sell him, and they lie to their father, it's a very big question. There's many big questions in this parasha that we don't necessarily have clear answers for. We learn one very basic thing from this parasha, that usually there's a course of bad events, but in that is hidden that the result and the meaning and the point we find out in the future. So we see all the suffering that Yosef went through, that later on he becomes the king, and not only that, becomes the second to the king, he becomes the ruler of Mitzrayim, then he has control over the land, then he's able to bring Yaakov down, and so forth. And we see the whole story, exactly how Yosef tells his brothers, don't worry, I'm not upset at you, because Hashem sent me here, and that was so I can be here and wait for the time so you can all come here and save you, and you know the whole story. So that in itself is already a lesson to see that even when things go extremely bad and there's something wrong going on, then Hashem says, just be patient. In a few chapters in your life, you'll see why I did it. And really, we can't really figure out the future. And we can barely figure out the present. But when we want to see what Hashem does, we have to look at the past. And when I look in my past, in every one of our lives, there's situations that happen. And while it happens, I can't understand what Hashem wants from me. Why is He bringing me to this horrible place, to this situation, to this argument, to this loss of money, to a loss of a loved one, a fight, a divorce, whatever it is. I lost my apartment, I got kicked out, I'm on the street. We're coming into these situations that on the spot we cannot figure out what Hashem wants from us. And we're actually a little bit disappointed in Hashem. And we fall into despair. But if we just wait a little patiently for the next chapter, we actually say, oh, I actually understand why Hashem brought me here. So that already in itself is a very big lesson to be patient, just to see that something's good is waiting. But we want to learn one very basic thing from this story that we should apply, not only this week, but Bechlal, that we see in general a story about Yosef, how many times in all my classes I say that each one of our sages got a title. Avraham got Avraham Avinu. Yosef got Yosef HaTzadik. David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen. Many of our sages and leaders, they got a title. So Yosef got the title HaTzadik. Who else got the title HaTzadik?
The only one.
Yeah, very few got the title HaTzadik, but Yosef was the first one who got the title Yosef HaTzadik. So we see here at Tzadik that everything goes wrong. We spoke about it 2 weeks ago about Yaakov, that so to say was the favorite of all fathers. And he, look what he went through. He had to run away from his family. His brother wanted to kill him. His son got kidnapped. His daughter got raped. Everything that can go wrong goes wrong. And we wonder, this is the life of a tzaddik. So 2 weeks ago we spoke about that was his journey. That every one of us has journeys and we have to go through these journeys. And some of the journeys are not necessarily as we would want them to be, but it's part of the journey. So comes again a big question. How did Yosef HaTzadik fall to this situation? But mainly the topic that we want to talk about this day, about this class, is that Yosef did everything that he was required. He never whined, he never complained, he did what he was supposed to do, what we called hishtadlut. He did his part, but then he got punished because he really asked the Sar HaMashkim, the minister of the I don't know how to even translate, the something like that, the minister of beverages. He really asked him to help him. The story goes that Yosef HaTzadik was sent to jail, and he was in jail for 10 years. While he was in jail, there was a big party going on, and the Midrash says that the party went on in order to make the people of Egypt forget about the episode of Yosef, because everybody knew what happened with Yosef. It was a very big shame. Like it was all over the news, all over the newspapers. So there was a big party, and in that party, the minister of the bakery, Sar HaOfim, and the minister of the beverages, they got thrown to jail, because in the cake of Paro was found a fly, and in one of the drinks was found a fly. So they Pharaoh threw both of them into jail. And then Hashgacha Pratit, Yosef meets him, and we're going to read the whole story, how they have dreams. And Yosef HaTzadik solves the dreams. And at the end we see how Yosef tells Sar HaMashkim, please tell Pharaoh about me to get me out of here. I'm not supposed to be here. But he repeats himself twice, and he really begs Sar HaMashkim to talk to Pharaoh to get him out. And for that he got punished, and he ended up being in jail for another 2 years. And comes a big question here. I mean, we know that we are required in our Avodat Hashem to do our part. This is called Hishtadlut. I did my part. Comes a big question, what's the limit in my Hishtadlut? I mean, I'm sick, I have to go to a doctor, I have to operate in this world according to nature. But how many doctors do I need to go to? 1, 2, 3, 7, 18... How much do I have to do my part according to nature? And how much do I have to live to Hashem? So I know I need to make money. So how many jobs do I need? 1, 10, 17, I need to work all day long, I need to work 2 hours a day. What's the limit of how much I have to do? And what's the amount that I have to leave for the Kadosh Baruch Hu? This is a great question, because we find it in every part of our life. I'm going out on dates. How much do I need to do? Do I need to go to 10 matchmakers? Do I need to put my profile on all the websites in the world? Or do I need to put it on one website and one matchmaker, do my prayers, and wait for the Kadosh Baruch Hu to do his miracle? So almost in anything in my life, there's always the question, how much effort do I have to put? And how much do I need to put in the hands of Hashem? And here comes a big question, because Yosef did everything that he could in his part. But where was the limit of how much he was supposed to leave for Hashem? And why was he punished? Because he asked the minister of beverages to help him. I mean, doesn't it look like an obvious thing that he's stuck in jail? Here's an opportunity. He sees the opportunity. He jumps on the fact and says, hey, you're going out? Please tell Paro that I'm sitting here. I didn't do anything. Not only that, tell him my qualifications. Tell him that I can solve dreams. Tell him that I can be a great ruler. He sees the opportunity. Well, why did Yosef HaTzadik got punished for that? Now, we see in many parts of our lives that we've run into a situation that I'm questioning whether myself or somebody around me, how much more do I need to do? Do I need to just leave things as they are and trust Hashem? Or do I need to continue with my part? So, we need to learn from that Hashem created the world, and He created the world with rules, and these rules are called nature, and Hashem loves nature. Hashem wants the world to go according to nature. And in our life, there's a lot of scenarios that we have to understand that sometimes Hashem is very revealed. Even in our life, I'm talking about in our generation, I'm not talking about 2,000 years ago that there was godly revelations. In our life, sometimes Hashem is very revealed. And like a real open miracle happens. Something pops up out of nowhere. And you say, wow, I really see how Hashem intervened. We see that. If you open your eyes, you see that Hashem is helping you all day long. But most of the times, when things go good, and sometimes not so good, it's Hashem getting dressed into people. That's how Hashem does. He operates through people. And we see that sometimes something changed in my life, and because I met a certain individual, and that individual, so to say, saved the day. And I might analyze it by saying, oh, that person did it. And one example out of many, a person, chas v'shalom, can have a certain sickness. He goes to a certain doctor, doesn't work. Go to another doctor, doesn't work. Go to the third doctor, and the doctor solves the problem. It's very easy to say, okay, that doctor made the miracle. But really, it's Hashem getting dressed into the doctor that was able to find the cure. Or a person find, again, to the same topic of looking for my other half. I'm looking for years. Finally, I meet one person. The person says, oh, I have a perfect person for you. And they do the match. And you think, oh, that person made the job done. No, it's Hashem got dressed into people. So Hashem constantly gets dressed into people. We just have to see in our life how it happens. And we have to realize that. But more than that, we want to see how it's connected to Hashem. Now, into this parasha. So in this parasha, we see something amazing that we don't see in many of the parashot, that this is the longest part in the Torah where Hashem is not mentioned. 11 chapters in this parasha and next parasha, Hashem Elohim is not mentioned. In all the parashot, constantly it's talking about Hashem. It's mentioning Hashem. Here it's not mentioning Hashem. For 11 chapters in the parasha, and it rolls over to the next parasha, which in itself is a big wonder, but that as it is a sign for us to see that how Hashem, when He wants, He can be very revealed in our life, but sometimes He doesn't want to be revealed in our life, and He hides Himself. And He hides Himself, and He operates through many different channels. So, I want to just go through three parts in the story in this parasha, how we see some type of hashgacha pratit that can be very easily translated or understood as luck or whatever, or you can see how Hashem actually really has control. Now the first one is that, you know, the story goes that first of all Yosef has his dreams, and then he comes to the brothers, and then he tells them the dreams, and they don't like him, and then the story goes that the Shvatim, they go to you know, take the cattle and the sheep to I don't know how it's called, to graze, whatever it is. And then at some point Yaakov wanted to see where the Shvatim are, so he tells Yosef, listen, I want you to go and look for them and tell me where they are. So Yosef HaTzadik goes there, and he kind of gets lost, he can't find his brothers, and he's wandering around in the streets of Shechem. And Shechem is not really the best place to walk around in, especially that last parasha, Shimon and Levi went and made some problems there. So the family of Yaakov doesn't have such a great reputation in the neighborhoods of Shechem. So Yosef, this young teenager, walking around there in a, you know, bad neighborhood, and he can't find his brothers. Suddenly appears a man and tells him, are you lost? Are you looking for something? So he tells him, no, I'm looking for my brothers. So he tells them, oh, they went that direction. Now, one might interpret that as a coincidence, but our commentary says that no, it was an angel from God that came to direct the way of Yosef. I mean, how many times you walk in the street and you get lost and somebody comes to you and tell you, oh, you look lost, do you need help? That doesn't happen. Usually you're lost. You start asking around, where do I find this location? So already we see that Hashem is already designing the path, because the entire story in this parasha and the entire story of next parasha is basically the fulfillment of the dreams of Yosef. Yosef had dreams, and now we're reading how they're coming to fruition. So we see how Hashem is designing the path, how He pushes everything in such a way that Yosef has to come to Mitzrayim. So he gets lost, and suddenly an angel appears in the shape of a human, and he pushes yourself on the right path. Okay, that's the first story of Hashgacha Pratit. The second story is that Yosef got sold to a convoy of Ishmaelim, of Arabs. And it says that he's sitting in one of the wagons, and that they were transporting perfumes. Now, the Ishmaelim were never transporting perfumes. It wasn't even their route. They always used to transfer all sorts of oils. And the oils, they reek, they stink. They don't have good smells. But Rashi says that this particular convoy were transporting perfumes. And Rashi says, this is the reward of a tzaddik. That even when something bad happens, Hashem made sure that it's nice scents, that the entire journey, he has nice scents. He doesn't have to sit in a wagon full of what? Yeah, that he's still going first class at least. Because the Ishmaelim were known to transport things that don't smell so good. All sorts of, you know, tar and oils and stuff like that. So we see again another Hashgacha Pratit, that even though he had to be led to Mitzrayim, Hashem says, I'm going to make it a little bit comfortable for you. We find a similar story later on in the Torah when Moshe Rabbeinu was in the basket, that the tar was on the outside and not on the inside. And Rashi says the same thing, that the tzaddik should not smell a bad smell when he's in the basket. So we see that in a couple times in the Torah, that the tzaddik maybe had to go through something not so good, but Hashem made it a little bit convenient. And if we want to translate it in our life, yes, sometimes we have to go through something not so comfortable, but if we really look, we see that Hashem is a little bit cushioning us and says, I know you have to go through something not so good right now, but I'll make sure something else is comfortable. So we see another story of Hashgacha Pratit. And of course, the third story is that Yosef HaTzadik got thrown to jail, and it wasn't even his fault. He was sold from this convoy of Arabs to the house of Potiphar, and he was like a slave there. And since he was a very good slave, then he got a big responsibility there. And then the wife of Potiphar liked him. Yosef HaTzadik was known to be a very handsome man, and his wife wanted him. She kept seducing him, and he didn't want to. And at some point, when he kind of refused her, she wanted to get back at him, and she went and said that he was trying to rape her. Of course, he got arrested and thrown to jail, and it was a big humiliation. But even though he went through all this, and he was in jail, now, again, the jails in Egypt is not the jails we have now, that you have a lawyer and you can file for appeals and stuff like that. Jail then, you got thrown to jail, and that's it, stay there. So even in this horrible story that he's thrown into jail, Hashem manipulates the situation, makes this big party, makes sure that in the cup of Paro and in the cake, there's a fly, that these two ministers get thrown to jail, and Hashgacha Pratit, from all the jail, they fall into Yosef's room, and Hashem manipulates the situation in such a way that he brings these men to the hands of Yosef, that Yosef can solve their dreams, and the whole story continues from there. So we see that in this story, as bad as it is, still there was Hashgacha Pratit, still Hashem is like, okay, I'm still controlling things, and Hashem can get dressed into human beings and operate. So that in itself already a lesson to see how sometimes Hashem gets dressed into people, and he creates a situation that it's very easy to think that that person did it, but it's not that person. It's Hashem, I don't know if manipulating is the right word, but he's maneuvering the situation. But here again comes this big question. Why did Yosef got punished for asking the minister of beverages to get him out of jail? He did anything he could according to nature. He did his part. The big question, why was he punished? So there's a story with Shmuel HaNavi that at the time Shaul was the king, and he wasn't such a good king in the eyes of Hashem, at least. And you know the whole story that they went out to war, and Shmuel HaNavi told Shaul, you have to kill everybody, including the women and the children and the cattle. And Shaul decided to take the cattle with him to have for sacrifices, and then of course he had to he lost his kingship because of that. So the story says that Hashem told Shmuel, who was a prophet, go now to Bethlehem and find this young boy and make him king. So Shmuel was like, listen, you know, you're asking me something pretty dangerous here. I mean, you're asking me to go down now and to kind of go against the king and to anoint, that's how you say, anoint a new king. Anoint, that's how you say, limshoch. To announce that David HaMelech is the new king. I mean, I can get killed for that, because I'm coming and betraying the current king. I mean, that's you're putting me in a very weird situation. I mean, not that I don't think that you're the boss, but I don't understand why you're asking me to do that. So Hashem tells Shmuel, listen, I understand. You don't have to go down there and straight away say, hey, I'm looking for David to make him king. Go down there, take a little sheep with you, and just if they ask you what's the sheep, tell them that you want to sacrifice this sheep. Let them sacrifice the sheep. When everybody's busy with the lamb chops and with the barbecue, you sneak into Bethlehem and you anoint David. Basically, Hashem tells him, listen, I'm not telling you to lie or anything. I'm just telling you, you don't have to say all the truth. And we're prohibited from lying. But we're not allowed to, but we're allowed to not to say the entire truth. I can say part of this truth. There's nothing wrong with that. So we see that Hashem tells Shmuel, I'm not telling you to lie, just don't tell the whole truth. Just say whatever needs to be said, and that's it. And basically Hashem is telling Shmuel and Navi, the prophet, you do whatever you can in the order of nature. Don't go around nature. Do whatever you can. Don't count on my miracle. Do whatever you need to do to operate according to nature. And we see that Hashem constantly wants us to operate through nature. There's a commentary. He was one of the Rishonim about 800 years ago. He's called the Ran. He's a very famous commentator in Halacha, in Gemara. His acronym is Ran, is Rabbi Nissim ben Reuven. He was a very great commentator. And he quotes in one of his books how the going by the path of nature is extremely important, and he says that the going on Bederech HaTeva is so likable by the eyes of Hashem that Hashem never changes the course of nature for anything. Very few times Hashem will change the course of nature to do something. But Hashem created the world in a certain pattern. He made rules in the world, and Hashem says, I'm not changing the rules. I don't care. These are the rules. And I'm not going to pull strings for anything. And we see very few times in history that Hashem manipulated the nature. He didn't change the nature. I mean, one of the first times that we see it is at the time of all the plagues in Egypt. So even though there were miracles, but they were in nature. It didn't bring something that was out of nature. So it was hail, so it was just very strong hail. The plague of the frogs, okay, there was just a lot of frogs. So, or if there was the plague of the animals, so he just sent a lot of animals. He didn't do something that was not in nature. He just made nature a little bit more extreme. Or going even further in the future of the stories in the Tanakh, we know there was once a miracle with Gideon, that the sun stayed in the sky for 36 hours. Okay, so he didn't create a new sun. He just made the sun pause. So Hashem always likes things going on in nature. He doesn't like changing nature. So the same thing with Yosef. Now, there's a big question, why did Hashem create this nature? What's the concept of nature? I mean, if Hashem really wanted us to just follow a certain path, give us the path, tell us what to do, and why the game? Why this show of nature? So there are two explanations. First explanation is nature in Hebrew is said teva. And teva has the same numerical value of the name Elohim. It's actually hateva, the nature. So Hashem Elohim, the name Elohim, comes to conceal something. And conceal in Hebrew is called He'elim. The name world in Hebrew is Olam. So Olam comes from the word He'elim, something that is concealed. The name Elohim that creates the world is concealed. So we see that the way Hashem created the world is that Hashem wanted it to be a concealment. He wanted it to be what's called a Hester. Why? So there will be what's called Bechira Chofshit, free choice. Because if there wouldn't be a concealment, if everything would be obvious, then there wouldn't be a question here of free choice. So Hashem created the world in such a way that He's not revealed, nothing is revealed, everything is concealed and hidden. Therefore, I now have to use my own judgment and I have free will. I should choose if I want to do this or if I want to do that, if I want to do good or if I want to do bad. So that's why Hashem created it in that system. But there's another opinion. This opinion is brought by the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe. And he says the reason why the world was created with this concealment is to create the opportunity for me to participate in what I'm supposed to do. Because if everything would be obvious and everything would be done by Hashem, what type of hishtadlut I would have to do? I would be like, oh, I'm getting a paycheck at the end of the week. Let me stay at home. Why should I go and work? Oh, and I'm going to get a refuah, healing to one of my diseases. Why should I bother? Go to the doctor. Oh, I'm getting married in 5 years. What's the point of dating? I'm going to meet my other half and that's it. So the concealment was placed in the world, this hester. So I will do my hishtadlut. That I will do my part. Because Hashem says, I want you to do your part. If I wouldn't want you to do anything, I would just give it to you. So we learn from that Hashem wants us to take part in everything that we do. He doesn't want us to just sit like this and be like, okay, Hashem, you just do your miracles. Hashem says, no, I want you to participate. So therefore, I created the world with some type of a concealment. That you will have to do your avodah, your hishtadlut. So, of course, we come again to the same question. Yosef HaTzadik did everything that he could, that is his hishtadlut. Why was he punished for asking Sarah Mashkim to help him? I mean, he did anything, he saw an opportunity and he seized the opportunity. So, we learn from that something very, very basic in our life. That things happen in our life, usually when things are good, then there's no problems. Then we right away, we can see it's the hand of Hashem and we thank Hashem. And if things go good in our life and we don't see the control, that Hashem is controlling it, and we don't thank Hashem right away, that's already a problem. But I'm now talking to a different level, that we see the good things and we thank Hashem. This is a totally different topic, that if I'm not thanking Hashem constantly for everything that happens, that's already a problem, because we constantly have to be thanking the Kadosh Baruch Hu in everything that happens. I woke up in the morning, I have to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I have what to eat today, I have to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But this is not the topic of this class. We'll talk about that, the concept of constantly thanking the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is extremely important, because that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants you to see and to recognize what He does, and just to thank Him. Just to say, Baruch Hashem, Todara, thank you Hashem. But we're talking now on a level that I'm already thanking Hashem. But then comes the situations in my life that I don't see how Hashem is connected. And something doesn't go so good in my life. Now comes a big question, how much do I have to put effort? And that's what I come to all the time in my life. Whether it's parnasa, my livelihood, finding my other half, chinuch of the kids, anything, I always come with the question, how much hishtadlut do I have to put? How much is my part? What does Hashem want from me? How much effort do I have to put? And here comes the question, was why Yosef HaTzadik got punished? Because he did his part. Yosef HaTzadik got punished because if we read in the parasha, you see that he asked the minister of beverages twice to help him. He didn't have said it once. He should have said once, listen, I'm stuck in jail, here's my resume, go to Paro, tell him I'm stuck here, and that's it. We see that he went back again and he begged again, please don't forget me. Don't forget what I told you. And that was the fine line that Hashem says no. Your derech hateva, your hishtadlut, your effort is to say once. That's it. And I would manipulate it in such a way that I would help you. The fact that you went again and asked again, that's when you cross the line of your part, and therefore you're going to get punished for another 2 years in jail. First of all, we learn from that a very important thing, that people, you know, take it to the wrong measure. Because a lot of people say, oh, everything is in the hands of Hashem, then everything that happens is, you know, in God's control. Sometimes in nature, it's my fault. I cannot always say, oh, that's what Hashem wanted. Sometimes something bad can happen in my life. I have to take responsibility, and sometimes it's not the desire of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes you see a person that dies in a young age, and everybody's saying, why did Hashem take him? And sometimes it was the man's fault. I mean, not too long ago, I went to a levaya of a young guy who died, and everybody was saying, why did Hashem take such a great soul? Why did he do it? Such a good family. And I said, you know why? Because the boy was reckless, and he drove on a motorbike 200 kilometers an hour. So he was in a motorbike accident. Hashem says, no, Hushmartechem lenafshotechem meod, you have to be cautious. Not that I'm chas v'shalom blaming anyone, but he was very reckless. He drove 200 kilometers an hour on a motorbike and he got into a car accident. Hashem says, I didn't tell you to drive like a machine gunner. If a person doesn't take care of his health and smokes like a chimney and chas v'shalom gets a disease and dies, Hashem says, that wasn't my decision. You didn't take care of yourself. So we see there are situations in my life that if I follow the Torah, then I cannot come with complaints. But if I don't follow what the Torah tells me, I can complain to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I go now and steal from my boss, and I cheat my boss, and I use things that I'm not allowed to, and I really go against what the Torah tells me, and then I get fired, I can say, oh, that was Hashem's will. No, you went and stole. You stole, you cheated, you got fired. Don't complain now. So sometimes in life, we have to take responsibility. I mean, if the Kadosh Baruch Hu has a certain gzera, a certain decree, and he says, I want this individual to live till the age of 80. Okay, and then the person did a certain thing that it was the opposite of the instructions of the Torah, and the person died at the age of 50. Hashem says, that wasn't my decision. He did something that I'm not going to change nature. If you're going to chas v'shalom jump off a building, I'm not going to send an angel to catch you and throw you back up. So it's an extremely important thing to know that sometimes people need to take responsibility to their own acts and saying, I mean, I can't complain and I can't blame anybody. It wasn't the will of Hashem. Or why is Hashem doing it to me? I did it to myself. So that's first of all and most important, a very basic thing, that I cannot go against what the Torah tells me and then complain. So that's first of all. But in this case, of course Hashem is always still there. But Hashem says in the Torah, for example, I'm just going to give you one example out of many. Don't commit adultery. Okay? Now imagine, chas v'shalom, a person goes and commits adultery, and then the husband or the wife catches him and kills him. Listen, I told you not to commit adultery. Why you put yourself in this situation? There are situations, of course Hashem is there, Hashem is always there. But there are situations that Hashem says, listen, you put yourself in this situation. The Torah, there's a very strong commandment in the Torah that says, Ushmartechem lenafshotechem meod. You have to take care of yourself. You know that you're not allowed to drive 150 miles an hour in a very refined way. That's a sin. You're putting yourself in danger. You're not allowed to put yourself in danger. If the speed limit is 80 kilometers an hour, 90 kilometers an hour, that's what you have to drive. And if you're driving 160 kilometers an hour, you're putting yourself in danger. So Hashem says, listen, I'm not allowing you to put yourself in danger. You have to take care of yourself. So, and this is one example out of many. And then if chas v'shalom something happens, of course you can later on say, Ashgacha Pratit, it was supposed to happen and so forth, but you can't put the blame on Hashem. You have to take responsibility. In this particular case, that we wonder why was Yosef HaTzadik punished, because Hashem says, listen, you asked one time too much. And what you want to learn from that is that in everything in our life, we have to do our hishtadlut. Hashem says, I want you to do an effort. I want you to wake up in the morning and go to find a job. And I want you to put your profile on the dating site. And I want you to go to the shadchanit. And I want you to go to do the. I want you to do something. There's something wrong. Go to a doctor. Don't sit at home and say, Hashem is going to cure me. And read Tehillim for 5 hours. You have to do what's called Bedei Chateva. You have to go according to nature. And you have to put the rest in the hands of Hashem. But there's always a very fine line of how much trust you have to put in the hands of a human being. And Hashem, and David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Al tismichu b'nedivim. Don't put your entire trust in the hands of a human being. You have to. But the main trust is in the hands of Hashem. The point is that we have to, in everything in life, we have to have a very good balance. How much am I putting my effort? And how much am I leaving to the hands of Hashem? And the Torah comes and tells you in a very clear way, you have to do something, but don't go overboard. You have to chas v'shalom see a doctor. It's two doctors. You don't have to go to 17 doctors. You want to find your other half? You use one shadchan, two. You put your profile on a website. That's it. And the rest, you do what's called above the chateva. You do your davening. You do your ishtadlut. You do your part. The point is not to go over the limit and to say, no, it's in my hands. A person not too long ago contacted me about problems. They have problems in Parnasa. And I said, listen, you have to do your part. And he told me, no, I can't. I'm for months, I'm already unemployed. How much effort do I need to put? So I said, listen, you have to open the paper once a week and to look for a job. And you have to put your resume to a few companies, and that's it. And if Hashem decided for you now to be unemployed, it means Hashem wants you to learn Torah. So you now learn as much as you can Torah, because Bezrat Hashem, in a week or in a month you find a job. In the meantime, you learn Torah. You open the paper, the newspaper, once a week to look for jobs. You apply, you put your resume, and that's it. And you take advantage of the situation that now you're free and you learn Torah. And this is going to be your effort above nature. So in anything in our life, we tend to come to a line when we don't know how much more effort do I need to put. This is where David HaMelech comes with his suggestion. Al tivtechu b'nedivim. You have to trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You do your part and let Hashem do the rest. So what I want to take from that for the rest of the week and bechlal for the rest of my avodat Hashem is to know that always Hashem is in control. There's always the movie of my life has chapters. In the beginning of this story, we see how the chapters of this movie of Yosef didn't start so good. He had to be sold by his brothers. He had to be thrown to jail. He had to go through what he had to. So he will come to Mitzrayim and end up being the second to the king and change the face of the story. So in our life, there's always going to be chapters. And some of the chapters are not as pleasant as we want. We have to constantly have faith in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have to see how the Kadosh Baruch Hu is maneuvering the situation, because He has already a plan. It's just to sit back and say, okay, this. Let me see what's Hashem's plan in this story. To do what I need to do according to nature, and then the rest I leave up to Hashem. And to know that when I put too much effort and too much trust into human beings and into nature, then I'm crossing already a line that Hashem says, no, no, no. If Yosef HaTzadik was punished to another 2 years in jail because he asked one time extra instead of trusting the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you said once, that's it, you don't have to say it again. So what I want to learn from that, what I want to carry it for the rest of the week, is in any situation that I have this week that I'm dealing with, or the next week or the following week, is to know that I shouldn't push things too much. I have to place in the order of nature what I'm supposed to do, and then the rest leave it up to Hashem. And part of my work in nature is also praying, and if I have chas v'shalom, somebody once needs to get healthy, then I need to read Tehillim. I don't need to read Tehillim for 11 hours, it's enough to read for 20 minutes. I mean, I'm not chas v'shalom telling you not to read more, but the point is that everything has to be in the right proportions. For any way you're looking at it, in any type or any topic, anything in my service of God has to be applied in the right proportion, and for sure not to be OCD on it. And sometimes people become very OCD on something and they lose the fact that Hashem says, I don't need so much. It's almost like taking any type of a dish that you're cooking. It only needs one spoon of sugar. You don't need too much sugar. Sometimes you see people, they put more and more. You're just ruining the taste. There's a recipe. The recipe says one spoon of sugar. That's it. Don't put too much. Don't think you're adding more. Keep it to the recipe.
How do you know the right amount? Like you do all the things you do, like to make sure that you don't need to do more.
That's a very good question.
Where is the resistance? How do you know you resist?
That's a very good question, and I was about to say it. You hekdamt oti. You went. You jumped. How do you say hekdamt oti? You doesn't. You went before me exactly 1 minute. And it is a very good question. How do I know what's the good line? So the Torah comes and tells us, "Aseh lecha rav v'yistahlek min hasafek." Make yourself a rav. And the rav, you know, you can call the rav a mashpia, you can call the rav a madrich, you can call the rav a rav, you can call him however you want. It doesn't matter the gender. Your so to say, rabbi can be the rabbanit. It doesn't have to be a male. But you appoint somebody that is your guide, that can come and tell you, this is enough. You don't have to do more. Because through this rav, through this mashpia, Hashem operates and gives you the right quantities. So the Torah comes very clearly and tells you, "Aseh lecha rav v'yistahlek min hasafek." Appoint yourself a rabbi and you're not going to have too many questions.
And if you feel that you didn't do the right effort, then your mashpia tells you,
That's the OCD part. That's why I said you can become OCD. Because sometimes you say, how do I know? Then you do I can't say the minimum because you ask me what's the minimum. But you do your part, and then if you have a safek, you have a doubt, you go to your rav and you say, I did this and this. If your rav, the rabbi, your madricha, whoever it is, tells you, you did okay, now wait for Yeshuat Hashem, you have to have trust. You have to have trust in Hashem. That's exactly the problem with Yosef. That he didn't have a rav, he had Ruach HaKodesh, he asked one time too much. So Hashem says, whoa. One time is enough. You don't need to ask twice. So, I'm not saying Chas V'Shalom Yosef HaTzadik was OCD, but in our case, since we're not in the level of Yosef, when I have a doubt if I'm doing too much, then I go to my rabbi and I tell him, I'm right now battling, my test here is to find my other half. My test is to get parnasa. My test is to I have a lawsuit. I did this, and this. If your rabbi tells you, it's fine. You did what you need to do. Don't go overboard. Show bitachon, show trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's going to activate the power of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it will happen in the Derech HaTeva, in the course of nature. And don't worry, it will happen. This is already rolling over to how much bitachon you're going to have in the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Yeah, that's another problem.
That's a whole different thing. But when you want to know where you're holding, if you can't monitor yourself, then you go to your rav, and your rav will tell you, you did enough. And if he tells you, you didn't do enough, then you do more. Of course, will come a very counteractive, a bigger question. Why should I trust a human being? Why should I go now to a rabbi and I should trust that rabbi? That's probably the question that I will get the most. Why, you're telling me now to put my trust in a man? So, first of all, it's not about putting my trust in a man. Rather, we mentioned in the beginning of the class how Hashem operates through people, and Hashem doesn't come and reveal Himself to me. He revealed Himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. He revealed Himself to a few other tzaddikim. Hashem doesn't reveal Himself to me. So Hashem gets dressed into people. So I have to find the right signs in the right people, who are the ones who actually Hashem is getting dressed in. So it can be five people in my life that I see how Hashem is dressed in them and presenting the situation. So I have to open my eyes a little bit. And if I appoint myself a rabbi, and again, I especially said after a rabbi that it can be anyone. It can be a rebbetzin. It can be a very good friend. It doesn't have to be a rabbi with smicha l'rabbanut. It's a person that is becoming a channel, that through this channel Hashem operates and gives you your message. And it can be a madricha, it can be a mashpia, it can be in any term you call it. It doesn't matter. The Mishnah says, "Aseh lecha rav." Rav is a person who teaches and guides you. But if you appoint the right person, of course you want to appoint the most suitable person, a person who's a God-fearing person, a person who follows the Torah, not a person that will give you advice based on the opposite of the Torah. And through this person, Hashem will operate and send you the right guidance. What we want to take from this entire class is that I'm not allowed to, and I should not put my trust into human beings. My trust has to be in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I have to lay the cards according to nature. I have to do my part, my hishtadlut, according to nature, not to go overboard, not to go too crazy, not to be OCD, to do my part, and the rest to do, to give the credit to the Kadosh Baruch Hu and let the Kadosh Baruch Hu activate His miracles in this world. And when I do that, I allow it to happen, and that's how Hashem gets dressed into nature and changes things. Bezrat Hashem, if I'm allowing myself to do that, then I'm basically making space for the Kadosh Baruch Hu to operate. When I'm saying I will take responsibility, I will do that, then Hashem says I don't have even a place to come. So I have to find the right balance, where is my part and where am I putting space to Hashem to come in. And it can be done in anything. We gave just a few examples. It can be in many different types of examples. One last example, because somebody, I got this question several times, when a woman cannot get pregnant, chas v'shalom, how much effort does she need to put to get pregnant? Because I know many couples that for years they can't get pregnant, and they go for years of treatment. And not too long ago, a couple told me, we're doing already treatments for 5 years, should we continue? We still didn't have a baby. Says, you should continue, because you still didn't get the baby. Hashem is still... didn't do the miracle. But don't do it in an OCD way. Don't like freak out. Don't like be nervous. Do the treatments. Do what you need to do according to nature, but leave room for Hashem to do His part. And you have to, of course, litchazek, to get stronger in your avodat Hashem, to climb in your levels. But the point is to always make sure that you're leaving space for Hashem to operate and to do His miracles. Bezrat Hashem, we should have a beautiful week. It's a very special week. It's the week before Chanukah, and we have to prepare for Chanukah. Chanukah is Motzei Shabbat, so we have this entire week to prepare for the holiday of miracles. And if I prepare the right way and I tap into the holiday of miracles, then my entire year will be full of miracles. And Bezrat Hashem, we should merit to see the ultimate miracle. And Bezrat Hashem, light the candles this Chanukah in Beit HaMikdash. And Bezrat Hashem, if I always make space to Hashem, then I see how Hashem operates in the world and how everything can be in the geder, in the limit of a miracle. Should have a Shavua Tov.